Good morning. I hope you're having a great time and looking forward to resting tomorrow. For those of you who are not going to work, maybe some need to go, but I don't know about that. I hope you'll have a great time, amen. Yeah, I just want to acknowledge different people that are visiting today. I think Simon is back with his wife. Where are they again? Over there. Amen. It's good to have you back and change places, but we'll have you anyway. Yeah, and earlier on we introduced Elias, who is visiting with his son, but for those of you who didn't see him, he's here as well, coming through from Zambia as well with his son. And so this morning I would like to get on with our final message on faith, and I'd like to remind us that our theme this year is transformation. Amen. So transforming faith is an appropriate topic to talk about on the sixth month of the year. Just in case you thought we moved away from transformation, we're still back there. Amen. We have to continue the journey of transformation as we grow as Christians. And the question is, does your faith change you? I know you come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, and that's great. But to what extent is that faith transforming you? And let's talk about that for a moment today. You see, Hebrews 11, a scripture we know very well, but be careful that you don't know it well to the point where you don't let it touch you this morning. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There's some key operative words there. It says that now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Key words, what we do not see and what we hope for. That we know that God is able to make the earth from something that we don't know. I.e., we can explain it that the world is made of protons or atoms or molecules. That is the extent a human being can explain what God did. You follow that? But God goes beyond that. He can make something out of nothing. Does that make sense? So when you're stuck with your faith and you're trying to figure out, why am I not able just to figure this out? God works with nothing. Your job is to put your faith in God. But we go the other way. We try to figure out, God, how do you work this? Show me how to work. Says, no, you trust me to take you through this path. And sometimes we don't understand that simple substance, that simple definition of what he's describing as faith. That now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We don't see it. We have no way how. How will it happen? No direction. But we know that God is able to do that. This is a God that spoke the earth into being. He said, let there be light. From nothing, there was light. He saved Daniel from and his friends from the lions. We don't know how that worked, but God is able to do that. Even though in our minds we think, that's quite amazing. How did that happen? That's the whole point. The point is to go to a God who works from nothing to create something. If you understand that, your faith begins to change. But this faith doesn't just come about cheap because you think it, you will it. It's whether you allow yourself to connect with God, which is then Romans 10, to hear God's word, hear God's message from time and again, and marinate or meditate on it to the extent that it begins to transform who you are. It brings you to a place that even though I don't know how, when, I know that God can do this. Now that's when faith begins to transform you. Faith doesn't work only when you can figure it out. When? How? That is not faith. That is something you already see. You know what it is. Or you've seen before. And so you expect it to happen again. But for us to be transformed, we have to go to places we've never been before. And that's scary. We like to go to places we've been before. Transformation is getting you from where you are to something you've never been. Transformation is getting you from what you're used to a new you, which is God forming in you. Then it says, this is what the ancients were commended for. That's what the first century church was known for. That is what the old people were known for. That they believed in God. that got them out of Egypt. They believe in a God that saw them through so many battles. That's what they were known for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what was not visible. See that? What is seen was made out of what you could not see. The biggest challenge we face today is to understand that simple principle, that this is what they were commended for. So what is seen was not made of what was visible. They could not see it, but God made that. So when we think about our faith, we tend to think of how will this turn out. And God is saying, no, I can make anything from nothing. Think about Daniel. When he spoke and told the king, even though I might not be saved by my God, I will not bow down to you. And then he was thrown in there. Had he ever seen a human being come out of a lion den? But because he trusted in God, God made a way there. He was open. He says, God, I'm going to put myself in your hands. And out of that, he walked out of that place. Think about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, coming to the Red Sea. And God saying, do not worry, these people will perish. Just keep going forward. And he parted the Red Sea for them. That was out of nothing. They had never seen that before. So if we don't understand that aspect of our faith, we're limiting God. Because then in the way we construct our faith, it's all about, we think it can be done this way. He can do way more than you're thinking about right now. And today, that's what the people are known for. So let's go further and talk about these people. It says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Let's switch a little bit. Now, we talk about Abel. He offered a better sacrifice. How did that happen? He had a relationship with God that allowed him to do something that had never been done before. Nobody had taught him that. But because of his faith in God, he was doing the best he could. The opposite of Cain, he was bringing something. And if you read that story in Genesis, you see that if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And so if your faith is not in the right place, you find that obeying God is a problem. You're conflicted, and when you do it, you just do it to get by. You do the bare minimum. It's not because you trust God, it's because you're testing God. It's not because you have a connection with God, it's because you hope that, let me just see if God is real for you. It doesn't work like that. He offered what was best. Why? Because of his relationship with God, he has so much faith and gave the best, and now he's spoken to as a righteous person. You see, sometimes we go the other way. We try to prove our righteousness with what we're doing. Say, I'm doing all these things, I'm doing all this stuff, so I must be righteous. And that way limits God's work in your life so much. And so we go that way, and over time we get tired and just overburdened with life, because it's not about faith first. It's about, here's what I'm doing to show I'm faithful. I must be faithful. No, you be faithful first and let your faith influence your life with God. That's where it starts. Not going, let me prove. And so when you're proving and something goes wrong, you feel so bad you cannot even recover. It takes forever. You cannot even tap in God's grace. But when you have faith in God and something goes wrong, you have the grace of God is able to help you come back quickly. Amen. And recover. And that's what he did. So Cain was told, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Amen. I believe that some of us in our faith, we've interchanged this space. God is not the object of faith. And so we've created another way of worship. It's good. You need to be in the Bible. But if you only feel good because you read the Bible, you're worshiping the concept of the Bible, not worshiping God. You need to be in the Bible, but that's not what gives you faith. It's your relationship with God that should do that. If you feel good just because you had good fellowship, and don't feel guilty about that, but your fellowship, your relationship with God should drive your faith, your fellowship. That's what should be driving that. Does that make sense? So you're grounded in God. And so even though different things change, God is the same. And as disciples, I've had people say, it's not as what it used to be when I was a young Christian. Something has died. Guess what happened? You moved. God never moved. God is always there, the same, ready to connect, ready to work. But we move gradually. We drift away. Why? Because somehow we turn our God into activity and forget that we've not connected with God. Let me ask you another question. When is the last time you just sat down, maybe read a scripture, and sat there for maybe 15, 30 minutes, just meditating, hearing God? Just 15. Not trying to rush out. Just sat down and prayed and heard God. You better fight for it. In a world that is busy, drowning us with being busy, drowning us with life, drowning us with bills, drowning us with keeping up with the Joneses, drowning us with everything we have to do, you may just lose God and have a skeleton of God in you. And be deluded to the fact that I do so many things, so I must be okay. That's not the faith we're talking about. It's one that believes in a God that turns things from nothing. That is a different faith. It gives you peace. It gives you confidence. You entrust yourself to God so much that you can take on stuff. You know, only God can do this. I cannot do this on my own. So that's what he was done. That's why we talk about Abel to this day. You see that? He's spoken well. I mean, Cain, by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offering, his faith is what drove him to offer that offering. And that's why it's called as a righteous person. As we work on our missions, let faith drive you. Don't let the logistics kill you. Let faith drive you. Let faith lift you to the things you want to do to bring that missions about. That's what he was doing as he did that. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. It's a powerful example of faith and what it can do. We know about Elijah and the widow and how that worked. And there's just so many stories in the Bible that show you how faith, that God kept going without oil and kept going without oil, and the oil would get finished. The cans would get filled and just kept going. And from nothing, that's the God we serve. The God that can transform anything. So if we understand that and think about that and know that that's the same God, because sometimes we look at that God and we think this God has changed. He hasn't changed. He's the same God. It is us who struggle with embracing that a big God. We think, well, he's too big for my thinking, for my embracing. I want to stay here. No, he's the same God. He can transform your faith. Now, there's always time issues. We'll talk about that in a moment. But moving on. So, true faith rests upon the character of God and asks no further proof that the moral perfection of one who cannot lie, it is enough that God has said it. Is it enough for you that God has said it in the Bible? That God has said it. It's in the scriptures. Is it enough for you? That God is not capable of lying. It's not like you and I, he's not capable of that. He does not lie. So when it's written there, it is what it is. It's a question of whether we will bring ourselves to that faith that God has spoken. So you realize that we have this God who says, I can do anything. But yet we doubt every day about our lives. We doubt. We get consumed. Our problems become way bigger than this God, to the extent that we are surviving and hoping that God will just hold us together. And yet, in reality, it needs to be the other way around. Go to this God who is not capable of lying. And if he speaks it, then the question is, will you believe this God? Amen. That's the question. Will you believe that this God will come through? Now, be aware that we may have a tendency to think that if I'm with God, I must be blessed all the time. That's not necessarily true. Then Daniel should never have gone through that trial, but he was with God. And he went through the trial anyway, right? Be aware that sometimes we have this balance of if I'm with God, I must be blessed materially. But then Job went through all these issues. Let us understand God in His totality, not in a biased philosophy of what we see today, in a very pluralistic way of thinking today, but who God is in the Bible. Amen? We're going to stay in Hebrews 11 throughout today. So I don't have any other point but just talking about the transformation faith. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. I mean, have you ever thought about this story? He never experienced death. We don't want to think about it, because it challenges your faith. It says he never experienced death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God. Key word, as one who pleased God. So, we always rest with, he was taken away. But how did that come about? He pleased God. That is a drive of faith. He pleased God so much that he was taken away, was not found. And the question you have to ask yourself today is, do you please God? Don't be in a hurry to answer that question. Because we all please ourselves for the most part. I can never forget the days when my wife was, and she tells me about this, when my wife was learning how to drive and I was now sitting on the passenger side. And how I would react. And sometimes you'll tell me, are you okay? I would say I'm okay, but I was holding on tight. My body was pressing on the seat. You would think like I'm about to die. What was it? What was it? We were not in an accident. I mean, obviously we're still here. The funniest thing is I've had more accidents than she has. But I was all scared. What was it? Was a lack of faith. So I take that analogy to explain to you is, how are you riding your life today as you sit on the passenger? Are you reaching out for the steering wheel? Or are you sitting and trusting that God, we're going to make this happen? Or are you holding the steering and trying to fight with it? You know what happens if the passenger just reaches out to the steering? Some accidents will happen, right? How is your ride in life right now? Are you uptight? Afraid? Or do you have faith that God will come through? It'll change your life dramatically if you had faith in God. It'll change your countenance and how you behaved and your predisposition, your just who you are, if you just let God take over. And yes, we have to have a plan, and yes, we have to plan ahead, but not to the extent where the plan replaces God. The plan needs to be a plan, but God needs to be God and be directed by God. I find that I get frustrated a lot when I'm focused on my plan. But when I open my eyes to what is God doing, my plan comes along, but not always the way I plan it out. For the most part, it's better than, actually, all the time it's better than what I planned. But I see that in hindsight sometimes. So I'm learning to try and open my eyes here now. Say, what is God trying to do right now? Why is this not working? God is doing something. Stay with it. Stay with it. Don't get frustrated and angry. Ask yourself, what is God doing right now? What is God doing right now? That would help you to develop faith. That would help you to connect to the character transformation that needs to happen. That would help you to start changing what you need to do. And that's not end all. That's just a growth process. But the faith, your faith grows from that. When you're tempted in the future to be down and out, you can look back and see how God saw you through that time. And then you can develop another faith moving forward. That was Enoch. That's how he pleased God. Verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him, he must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who honestly seek him. Now, I don't know you believe that God exists, but to what extent do you believe that God can take care of you? There's an extent there. What are your fears? Some of us, we fear to fit in. We're afraid as a teenager, if I decide Jesus is Lord, I'll not fit in. So I'll not be a cool guy. Jesus is a cool guy, man. Jesus made turned water into wine. Jesus is just miracle guy. What are you talking about? He changed people's lives. He changed society. That's the Jesus we talk about. So you trust him. Have faith and he'll transform your life. And some people in the name of faith, they've just gone off on a limb. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you really connecting with God and letting God's will to be what it is. And that's the point here we have to ask ourselves, without faith, are you honestly seeking him? How honest are you seeking God? What are your fears? Are you afraid about your job? What if God wants you to get you out of that job to give you a better one? And the only way that will happen is to get you to lose one. How about that? But God is working. It's like saying, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to die. If you're going to go, death is coming. You cannot decide how it works. You have to trust that in death, I made it to heaven. But we are afraid. We got to see almost see this and be there at the same time. Trust God to work it out. Trust God to work it out. So if you do that and believe he exists, then you have to honestly seek him. Honest. We had this morning in the class. It was fasting, praying, putting ourselves there. Honest is a hard thing to do when life is busy because you're distracted a lot. I mean, there's a book called The Wired Soul. It's amazing about how much we're seeing as human beings. How much interruption we get and how much electronic figures we're going to see before we die. It's challenging for any generation now, whether you're a teen, single, campus, it's just that's going to be the biggest challenge right now. The stuff that comes your way and how many times. I mean, some of us are already addicted to our phones. If you don't have your phone, you panic. You go to panic mode. And I'm like, I am from the other generation. There was a time I didn't have a phone and I was fine. The way we met with my wife, I said, I'll be there at 10. I'll be at end of the clock and you better be there at 10. And that's how we met. That was a Sunday appointment. We're going to meet on Saturday. We never talked in between. We're going to be there. You had a hard faith those days. You talked on Sunday. And wait, we're going to be there somehow. She's going to be there. So let's go. No texting. Are you coming? No, we talked on Saturday and on Sunday, and we're going to meet again on Saturday at 10. Well, talk about analog, man. We did pretty good with writing things down. We are like, yeah, we'll be there on time. Now, man, you can even have a tracker on your child. You know where they are exactly. What speed are they moving at? It's this good stuff that has taken away our faith because we think, I'm in control. It's an illusion. Nobody's in control. Only God is in control. You don't know if you will breathe up to the end of today. So it's an illusion. The only thing you can do is put yourself in the hands of God and stop just having this tension of controlling and letting God lead your life. I think if we parented our children like that, we'll have less tension. I'm just learning that now. Yeah, we'll do a better job as parents. If we walk together as couples, there'll be less tension in our marriage. And teens, if we just enjoyed our lives more, there'll be less tension. Don't worry about what people say about you too much. That's just, it's tough. Only God is in control. But we have to be honest. Seek him. He rewards us honestly seek him. How much is that happening in your heart? You see, it's one thing to say, I'm at church. It's one thing to do. And guys, don't get me wrong. It's good to be at church. It's good to be at family group. But your heart has to be invested in this. It's there that faith begins to form. Your heart, when your heart is converted, the rest comes easy. But if it's only action, it's a question of time and you get tired. You really get tired. You feel like it's boring, it's dull. What's the point? But when your heart is in the business, it's exciting, it's dynamic, you feel alive. Let's talk about this. Faith, it's all about believing. You don't know how it will happen, but you know it will. Because you believe in God. How about that? That's hard. It's like me telling you, okay, somehow we're going to get over to St. Louis tomorrow, let's say. How? I don't know. Not a very good idea, right? But look at it from this point. When I grew up, I know that my dad would just say, we're going to go to the village to see dad and mom, right? In those days, back in the 70s, the roads were narrow. The cars were not as fast. It was a 6 o'clock journey to 6 o'clock. And all I did knew that next day we're leaving. Dad said it's going to happen. God says a lot of that stuff in the Bible. We say, how? He just says, you come along. And that's when we begin to struggle. We hold back. We're not sure. We're not trusting. We're not giving 100%. We're giving 60, 70, 80. I say, I trust God. You got to give 100% with God. Give your heart to Him. You cannot have two hearts. You have to give that heart to God. Give yourself to God. It's a good place to be. You cannot have one door in the kingdom of God and one door open on the side. I have an alternative. Just in case it doesn't work with God, I'm here. It's not going to work like that. And we do that. And yes, you need to save for your retirement. That's good. I'm not saying you should not do that. But I'm trying to tell you that put your life with God, though. Put your life with God. If you don't do that, you start having these alternatives that takes your faith, your heart away from God. And eventually you don't learn anything because whatever that you open, it becomes your focus. You have to make sure that that door is open. You keep fighting for that door. But when you give it all to God, everything turns around. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that came by faith. I mean, there had not been rain when Noah was building the ark. And he began to speak and tell the people that I'm building an ark. It took about 100 years to do that job, that this will happen. And he kept going and kept going. And people must have thought, this guy is sick. And the Bible says, by his action, he actually condemned everyone else. Do you realize that if you stand by faith, you challenge the status quo? The idea that because I'm a Christian, I must fit in, it's not feasible. You cannot fit in because you don't. By your faith, you challenge people's lives. By your faith, you say, I don't sleep around. By your faith, you say, I trust God, I wait for God to show me the right person. By your faith, I treat my husband and my wife differently. I raise my children differently. You will not fit in. But today's world, we are so wanting to be in the plural world, we don't want to be known to be children of God. Imagine art. Try not to accept that Steve Coyer or Bob Coyer are his children. His parents. And rather he's saying, I want to fit to every family. Will that work? There's only one family he belongs to. The Coyer's family. So art can't say, yeah, I belong to the Coyers, but as well, I belong over here as well. It doesn't work like that. Your faith gets you to your Father in heaven. Does that make sense? Gets you there. And you need to be comfortable with that. You're not doing anything wrong. You're having a faith in God. But what that is going to challenge you. You stand out and you got to talk to people about God. As long as you're not rude, arrogant, putting them down. If you love them, not put them down, judge them, they will hear God. It's when you put people down and judge them, they feel like, who are you? But the simple fact that you belong to God, you stand up different. It'll be different. So don't feed in trying to help them to see who God is and lead you. Amen. Having said that, by faith, so he condemned them by just that. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed, went, even though he did not know where he was going. Imagine that he was asked to go to a place he did not know, and he said he will go, one step at a time. God didn't show him the land, didn't show him where, he just said, you come and I will show you. That is a tough place for us to be, that you come to a promised land. How, where will it look like? God doesn't show you everything. He wants you to trust you here, to trust him here and now. Matthew 6, every day has enough trouble of its own. Today is the day you're going to have to trust God. Now you're going to trust God today. and walk through things today. And tomorrow will be a better day. Does that make sense? Or tomorrow will be a tough day, but you still have to trust God. Is that making sense? You see, if we learn that journey, the anxiety of 2 years from now, what will happen, drops. Even though we have an idea and a plan ahead, that drops very quickly because we learn to connect with God today. We lose God today because we so much look forward for the next 4 years. But we must have a God today to take us to that 4 year. So we need to connect now, here and now, today, in the fellowship, and have a connection with God. Does that make sense? That's what it's talking about. So but he was called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance. Obeyed, went, even though he did not know where he was going. That is faith. That is faith right there. It transforms you. It moves you from where you are to another place. By faith, he made his home in a promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. A very good analogy. Sometimes we pray for things, they arrive. That is not the end all. He didn't arrive there and says, I have arrived. The Bible says he lived as a stranger. He lived in tents and as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him for the same promise. What happens when God answers your prayers? Do you say, I've arrived? You settle. You stop fighting again. What is it that God gave you and you settled? Maybe he gave you a wife and you settled. Gave you a job and you settled. Gave you money and you settled. Gave you an education and you settled. Gave you parents and you settled. That's not end all. You cannot settle because that is where we go wrong. We let the stuff that God is doing in our lives become our emblem of saying, oh, wow, we have arrived. Oh, no, that's a testimony of what God can do. Let's keep going. So don't settle because you arrived at the promised land. He lived as a stranger there and raised his faith again and continued. And even though he's not with us, we are the promise of Abraham's faith. See, we have to live like that with our children, with one another. And not settle. Now, it's not about Petros' life of unsettlement and just being not at peace, but rather a place of faith that grows and continues to show you what God can do. Let's see it. Let's look at this. All right. Faith is not believing that God can. It is knowing that he will. It's very different. You may believe, but do you know he will do that? It's not just believing. But do you really know he can? It's very different. And that's what you see with Abraham. Faith is God. Faith in God includes faith in his timing. Now, that's the big one. We can say, okay, I believe, I'm convinced. What about the timing? Many of us want stuff yesterday. If not, now. And I want this change now. Yesterday, now. Then it doesn't happen. What happens? I say, my faith is down. No. Faith in God includes faith in his timing. If we can get those two together, I think our faith will go places. If we can have faith in God and his timing, because the constraint of our faith is really much around that. Okay, I believe in God, but it's just taking long. What is long? It's a relative term. And if we understand that, Abraham trusted that, you can read the stories in the Bible. If we can connect with God and his time, our faith will be transformed. God bless you.
Amen. What an amazing lesson. I mean, transforming faith. I think the one thing that I really took out of that was that you can't have transforming faith until you really let go. You have to let God really take hold of your life, and you can't hold on to stuff. Because if you do, your faith will go with it. So let's have another hand for our brother Steve. So we've got a few people that used to be part of this particular congregation but have in faith moved to other places but have returned. So if we could, Kat and Simon Aguilori, please stand up. This is a couple that used to be with us that moved to Namibia, but they have come back to visit us again. It's good to see you guys again. We miss you. Kat and Simon, don't forget to say hi to them. Another couple that is left, Rupert and Danielle Rose, if you guys could please stand. This is a couple that is back with us as well. It's good to see you guys too. Another announcement, somebody dropped, it looks like a charger in the parking lot. So if this looks familiar to you, just come and see me and you will get it back. Okay? So let's pray for the faith that we have and that it will transform as we give more of our lives to God. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for the way that you are always open to giving us more. God, even though we stumble, we fall, our vision sometimes gets flighty, we don't see as much and it gets fuzzy. God, you're always there waiting for us when we open our eyes. God, waiting for us to be able to give you more, to fall in step with what you're doing. God, help us to let go of the plans that we have and just look for what you're doing in our lives, in our children's lives, in our friends' lives, in our family's life, and get on board with that plan because you can carry that weight. God, we can follow you and not be anxious because you are carrying the weight and you have promised that all things work for the good of those who love you. So help us to hold on to that promise and in faith be transformed in our lives. God, we love you. Thank you so much for this worship service and all the things you brought to us. God, let your word seep into our hearts, God, and let it produce fruit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.